Coming up on the show, I talk with Jeff Snyder, an autism advocate who's got a very interesting story in the past. So stay tuned and I'll catch you on the other side. See you there. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Inside the Asperger Studios Present Stories. Today, I'm joined with Jeff Snyder, who is an autism advocate just like myself. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thank you, Reed.
Let's start out small. Where were you born?
I was born in 1989 in Providence, Rhode Island. I live in a town called Seekonk, which is not that far. I was first diagnosed with autism in December of 1990 when I was 21 months old.
Wow.
And I was actually nonverbal until I was 4 years old. And then upon my graduation from high school in 2007, I became the first student on the autism spectrum to have completed pre-K through grade 12 without coming from other towns or school districts. And then in 2015, I moved into my own apartment. I'm also a writer of what is known as fan fiction. Fan fiction is stories based on movies, TV shows, books, any form of entertainment. And then also I am also a moderator for the Autism Knows No Borders Mighty Networks platform. And finally, I also run a blog called Jeff Snyder, called Going the Distance, which is a blog that offer my services for speaking engagements, volunteer works, both in person and virtually, and also I do blogs every Monday through Friday.
What was it like for you growing up, Jeff?
Well, for me growing up, I was nonverbal until I was 4 years old, so I couldn't really communicate much like a normal kid would growing up. So that was a bit of a challenge. And the only way I could communicate was by making noises and doing movements and stuff like that. And then I actually didn't even know I was on the autism spectrum until 1998, when Nick News came to my house and they filmed me as a subject for their story on autism. So that's how I kind of knew how I first learned of my autism diagnosis was through the Nick News story.
All right. What was your relationship with your parents?
I've had a very good relationship with them. Of course, being autism parents, they do kind of helicopter me a little bit. They used to helicopter me a lot when I was a kid, and they still kind of do as I am now an adult. But they're very good to me and stuff. And my dad was a vice president for a major company for 35 years, where he would travel to Asia and Europe and the continental US. So, so I kind of developed my passion for air travel, through him in a way. So, part of the reason why I travel to different organizations across the country is because of him, witnessing him doing all these trips and kind of learning the trade.
Well, you're kind of like me in that respect. Ever since I did my first international trip for my 30th birthday, I kind of fell in love with travel. And even before then, I would travel within the US. But once I went abroad, it was just like this whole world opens up in front of your eyes.
Yes.
And that's one of the things I like to push, is that those of us on the spectrum need to open our eyes more, see there's a whole world out there for you to explore. I know there's a majority of us are introverts, but see the world, explore it, try it once. Even stepping outside your own home and going to a favorite restaurant or something that you've never been to. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are things people need to do to see the world outside their own borders. Did you have a smooth transition from youth to adulthood?
Well, I'm going to say it straight right now. It wasn't smooth sailing. I didn't have a very good transition from high school into the workforce because I was forced out of the high school world and into the real world, if you will. And that was, you know, a very challenging. I mean, I didn't even get my first paying job until after I got high school. So, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things that I'm very passionate about is ensuring that neurodiverse individuals go get the exposure of transitioning while they're still in school. Because had I gotten a paying job when I was still in school, then maybe my transition would not have been as hard as it mm-hmm. as it was. So I mean, it was. So that's one thing that I am trying to preach to individuals. Because then another thing about transitions is you have to be flexible. And I always say that, you know, being flexible is a survival skill. You have to learn to adapt to what is going on around you, in the sense that, you know, you have to change, you have to mm-hmm. evolve with the situation. And that's one thing that I really struggled with, particularly in my late teens, early 20s, was I struggled a lot with transitioning. So now I'm out there trying to say to people, you know, you got to be flexible. You got to be flexible. You have to go with the flow, and you have to kind of, you do need to be prepared for whatever comes your way.
True. I mean, as both of us know, I mean, being on the spectrum, being flexible is one of the hardest things for most of us to do, because we all have, our minds are always one set one way, and it's hard to adapt. And then it's just like learning something new all over again. All right. What makes you feel inspired or like your best self?
Well, I think what makes me feel inspired is the fact that, you know, there's a lot of, ratio of an autism or neurodiverse diagnosis. When I was first diagnosed, it was 1 in 10,000. Now it's 1 in 54. And there's a lot of families out there that really don't know what to do with, you know, their child or their adult loved ones. So my mission is to reach out to these families and individuals, both in person and virtually, and say, you guys are not alone. I've been down that path. I know what it's mm-hmm. like. And that's one thing you really have to consider, is you gotta take these families. They're your audience. You have to, you know, reach out to them by any means possible without, you know, I mean, and one thing I have learned is you gotta have rhino skin when it comes to dealing with these, families, because they will want specific answers and specific needs that I, the self-advocate, can provide for them. So that's one thing that I'm trying to reach out to families, and then also to professionals like school personnel, medical professionals, because they don't know, some of them don't know what it's like to treat or teach someone on the autism spectrum, someone who is neurodiverse, and they just simply don't know. So it's people like me that have to reach out to them and help them understand.
All right. Fill in this blank. I am at my best when?
Well, I am at my best when I am, when I'm, you know, telling my story to people and also, you know, coming up with presentation ideas and also, you know, writing up fan fictions and all those sort of things. And also, I'm also at my best when I'm, you know, traveling or doing or going to, you know, Starbucks. I do writing sessions at Starbucks. So all those little things are what I am very, very good at.
All right. If you can go back in time, Jeff, and talk to your younger self and tell them about your, what you know now about your diagnosis, what would you tell them?
Well, I would definitely say if I would have to go back to talk to my younger self, I would say you gotta go with the flow. I mean, because when I, particularly again, during my late teens, early 20s, again, I was not very, I was kind of set in my ways. And I would probably say to myself, you know, you have to move on to the next phase of your life. And, you know, you're having a, you know, it's tough, but you know, you gotta face it. I mean, it's just part of life and part of nature. And you just gotta, you know, you can't go back and change what you should have done. You just gotta take what you can learn from it and move on.
All right. What is an insult you've received that you're proud of?
I'm sorry?
What is an insult that you have received that you're proud of?
Insult? I mean, I haven't really been insulted in any way, but if you want to talk like accomplishments, I would say being the first autistic student to complete pre-K through grade 12 in my town school district. I mean, that could be one thing, but I've never been called anything. I've never been insulted in any way.
Right.
I mean, I've been given, I've kind of behaved in ways that kind of made people like raise an eyebrow at me, but that's just part of, you know, that's part, just of life. Part of nature. So,
all right. If you can have a billboard with anything on it, what would it say and why?
I would say if I had a billboard, I would say you can go the distance because I don't know if you've seen the Disney movie Hercules.
Yes, many times in my life.
The theme song to that one is Go the Distance. And that sort of became like my personal theme, really the structure of what I do. In fact, my blog is named Going the Distance on WordPress. And then I do a scholarship every year since I graduated from high school called the Jeffrey Snyder Go the Distance Scholarship. And which goes towards benefiting graduating seniors who had been on an IEP their entire education. And so far we've raised about, I would say roughly over $10,000 since we founded it in 2008.
All right. Who has been the most important person in your life? And can you tell me about them?
Oh, geez. Yeah. I mean, there's quite a few out there, but I would have to say aside from my folks, I would say probably the biggest influence would have to be my middle school mentor, Mandy Dysalis Arntoff, because when I was in elementary school, I was preparing a transition from elementary to middle school. And up until that time, I had been strictly regular classes, but middle school was going to be a lot tougher. So I guess to reduce my stress and my anxiety, the school district created a pilot program for students who are you know, for special ed students who, you know, struggle with, you know, sensory issues and, you know, sudden change. And Mandy was one of those that she kind of, you know, took me in when I went into middle school. So, I mean, I had her from sixth grade to eighth grade.
All right. What do you think the world would look like in 5 years?
Well, I think what the world would look like in 5 years is that there needs to be more neurodiverse awareness and acceptance, particularly, you know, with sporting events, with, you know, community events, with traveling, and with, and particularly in retail, because what I think, because the number of people being diagnosed as autistic or neurodiverse, it's going to grow between, it could go from 1 in 54 to maybe 1 in 17, who knows? But I think now would be I think in 5 years, I would say the world will be more neurodiverse aware, and they will get an understanding to helping out the neurodiversity community and the neurodiversity population in general.
Okay. All right. Would you consider yourself an introvert or an extrovert?
I would say probably I'm more introverted. Sometimes, I mean, it's a little bit of both. Like in terms of like advocacy and stuff, I'm very extroverted. But when it comes to like, you know, personal matters, I'm very introverted. So it's a little bit of a 50-50.
Okay. What are the best resources that you have helped you?
Well, I would say CCOMP Public Schools has really been very helpful to me. They've been a very good resource. Also, another organization, Attleboro Enterprises, which is a vocational organization that is based in North Attleboro, Massachusetts. They were very helpful in landing me my current paying job, and the paying job before that, I was at Borders Bookstores for 3 years, and I've been with a grocery company called Stop and Shop since 2010, and I've been there, and this coming December will mark my 11th year.
Well, congratulations. So,
thank you.
You're welcome. If you could interview anyone from your life, living or dead, but not a celebrity, who would it be and why?
Well, I would have to say probably my grandfather, my paternal grandfather. He passed away 10 years ago, but he was one of the big influences on my life as well as my dad's life. And, of course he was a World War II veteran. He, was in the Marines. So, that to me was a big thing. And of course, you know, my grandparents were the inspiration to embrace like the classic, you know, music styles, classic film styles. And I think, you know, brings about that, you know, hard work and grit comes from not just my dad, but my grandfather as well. So I would probably interview him more.
All right. If you could be remembered for one thing, what would it be and why?
For being a good role model. Because I have two nieces, growing up in Southwest Virginia. My oldest is 4 and my youngest is 1. And I want them to kind of learn how to be around neurodiverse people, because they're going to be growing up among students who were like me when I was growing up, when I went to school. So, and if I could, you know, be a good role model to them and be a good role model to others who are going to be growing up as well, then that would be my greatest accomplishment.
All right. What are you most proudest of?
I would say probably the one thing I'm most proud of is that, you know, I had to, you know, is overcoming all the obstacles I had to deal with the transitioning, with, you know, the sensory issues and, you know, doing all these, doing all these other tests and things of that sort. That to me was my that's one thing I'm proud of, and also the fact that, you know, I can reach out to people both in an in-person sense and a virtual sense, because if there's one thing about COVID that has been a good thing, is that it is COVID's opened the door to reach out to people virtually. So you can talk to them without having them leave the comfort of their home, because some of them might have chronic illness. Some of them might have, you know, mobility issues. So that to me is, that's one thing I would be most proud of.
All right. Now, how did you get to where you are today, Jeff? I mean, what brought on the advocacy and everything else?
Well, prior to that, I was a member of the, well, first of all, I was a member of the Brony fandom from 2013. I'm from like 2011 to present day. And I attended Brony conventions as a fan fiction writer. So I would go and I would, you know, write stories and share my, meet people and share my stories with others. And when Friendship is Magic, which show, which the Brony fandom is based off of, when it was announced that it was ending in February of 2019, I just had to say to myself, you know what, maybe now would be a good time to start taking what I've learned from the Brony fandom and to bring it into the autism community. Because one good thing about the Brony fandom is that it feels more like a sense of community. It's a sense of, you know, you're not just going to a convention, you're walking into a small town. And that's what I'm trying to, and one thing that we, the code of the Brony is to love and tolerate. And I take that code and I bring it into the neurodiversity community, because we need to love and tolerate those affected by, you know, autism, neurodiversity, and just be open with them, get them to kind of understand that, you know, we're here for you. We're going to bring you into our village, and we'll make you a part of our tribe. We'll make you welcome. We'll make you welcome. We'll be there if you have any problems. So that to me was kind of, that's how I got to where I got to where I am.
All right. Now we come to the part of the show everyone wants to hear, the questionnaires. What is your favorite word?
Oh boy. Yeah. There's probably 10,000, words that are probably my favorites, but if I have to choose one, I would have to say determination.
What is your least favorite word?
I would say probably, your retard or your any other kind of ableist language.
What turns you on creatively, spiritually, and emotionally?
Well, for one thing is not overeating or not getting stressed, or, you know, because if I overeat, then my creativity isn't as good. So I try to, you know, eat better. I also exercise. I do walks around my complex. That has allowed me to, you know, grow creatively as well. So that was kind of, that's kind of how, and spiritually, you know, I do listen to a lot of, Catholic music. Mm-hmm. I listen to also, classic rock. And, but when it comes to listening to, like, you know, religious songs, it gets me boosted in the sense that, you can grow, you can go and, you know, just be yourself and let your spirit take flight.
What turns you off?
I would have to say probably the big thing that really turns me off is when, you know, I'm hearing about, you know, stuff on the news that, you know, is not true, especially now with the, you know, with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. and anything that's negative on also getting into awkward situations kind of turns me off. So that's one example right there. And then also just anyone who, you know, calls anyone by a slur, or because if I hear like a slur or anything that's ableist or something, that kind of, you know, sends a chill down my spine. So that to me kind of, you know, what is what turns me off.
What is your favorite cuss word?
Favorite cuss word? And being a Catholic, it's I would say probably damn.
All right. What sound or noise do you love?
I would have to say probably any type of, like, you know, soothing, relaxing music. And
what sound or noise do you hate?
Probably alarms.
All right. What's your favorite color and what does it say about you?
I would have to say probably red. Red's probably my favorite color. And it says that, you know, I'm, you know, red's more about, you know, having hot, you know, you're a hot thinker, you know, your creativity is flowing. And
all right. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I would have to say probably as a public speaker, because in addition to being a self-advocate, I'm also an aspiring public speaker and I'm very gifted at public speaking. So I recently started doing like speaking engagements. I've done some virtual speaking engagements during the pandemic, and I've done two in-person engagements so far. One was in Orlando back in March, and another was in Tampa not too long ago in July.
All right. What profession would you not want to attempt?
Probably anything that, probably when it comes to, like, you know, working with the, anything with retail. I mean, I used to think about, you know, going up, working my way up the lab, but you know what? Retail or any kind of service with the general public, it can be very, very stressful for me. And actually back in the day, I used to work, you know, 3 to 5 days a week. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to cut down to 2 days a week. And, you know, it's good for my mental health. It allows me to do, you know, these kind of things. So, I mean, it's probably one of the best decisions I've ever made, to be honest with you.
Okay. If heaven exists, and we both know it does, what would you like to hear God say to you when you arrive at the pearly gates?
I would say probably, welcome home, son.
And finally, when you arrive at heaven, who would you like to meet?
I would say probably Walt Disney.
Very good answer. And that's it, everyone. That was Jeff Snyder, autism advocate and one hell of a great guy. Thank you for coming along, Jeff.
Thank you, Reed.
Not a problem. Hang on. Jeff, why don't you tell people where they can find you online?
They can find me on, you guys can find me on WordPress. It's Jeff Snyder, autism, neurodiversity, self-advocate.wordpress.com. That's my Go the Distance blog site. And then also you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And my username for Twitter and Instagram is GoDistance3562. And finally, I also contributed to a book called This is Autism by Jessica Leitchwise and Aidan Allman Cooper. It's available on Amazon for $19.97. And if you would like me to sign you a copy at a future in-person event, I'd be much happy to sign you a copy.
Thank you very much.
To go. bad year when you shout out. Still your head is stuck in a gray cloud. When you shout out, it's a good year. Get ready to go and you'll be on your way. Better let go, make it a flow, feel it adios. Say it again, do it and win everything and you'll be on your way.
Don't go waste it.
Be on your way.
No, it's a good life, so don't go waste it. Stop a second, 'cause I know you can taste it. Tell me what you wanna do, and then we go.